roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What is up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Monday, Martin Luther King Day, no less. It is a special holiday for our country. Many of you are probably off. And our worldwide audience, I guess you would know it because it's a holiday that's only recently come up and been celebrated, I guess, in the last 20 years, if I'm right. I don't remember like when I was younger having to take it off for school, but it became a national holiday here in the last 20 years. The great Martin Luther King. So we're here still to do our job. We got a show on Wednesday. It's UFC Fight Night on ESPN, and it's Wednesday morning, afternoon. So we'll give you all that info. And of course, we lead into UFC 257 on Saturday. That's going to be Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. And Goz and I are going to host the watch along here on Sportscaster, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Won't you join us then, please? It's going to be a fun time as we watch the fights along with you guys. That's why we call it a UFC 257 watch along. All right, on today's show, we're going to discuss the latest news, including all the action that was covered. UFC on ABC 1 with Max Holloway defeating Calvin Kattar. We'll go with that card. And we also have two guests on today's show. Beneil Dariush is going to join us. He is going to be fighting Diego Fajeda. And that's coming up pretty soon. I believe it's February 6th. And then we also have Jamal Hill coming off a win over OSP. He's got Paul Craig. They don't fight till March, but we're still excited to talk to Jamal Hill, a rising light heavyweight. All right, buckle up, folks. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. It's January 18th.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
All right, so Goz, talk about Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar. I don't want to wait too long. We have two big guests today. I want to spend some time with them, but we got to talk about Blessed, man. He put on a show.
It was not only probably his greatest performance. It has to go down as one of the best performances by any fighter. That dude seemed like he had endless cardio. At the beginning of that fight, he had such an amazing output. You know, he got in Calvin's face right away, which is what you got to do against Calvin Kattar. But I remember telling you after about a round or so that this has got to stop. Like, he can't keep this pace the whole fight. He kept that pace the whole fight. And Calvin Kattar's no joke. That's a tough fighter, man. So I thought it was one of the greatest performances he's ever had, if not one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in mixed martial arts.
Yeah, no doubt. For a guy that's 0-2 against the champ, we're already seen to have him face the champ if that opportunity to arise. When do we do that? When you lose twice to the champ, it's like game, set, match. You know, you need a miracle. You need for that guy or gal to lose before you can get a whiff at another title shot. But then you go out and do something like Max Holloway did on Saturday against a tough, rising Calvin Kattar. Whew. too. I mean, I thought I heard a score of 50-42. I know I heard 50-43 twice, but I could have sworn I heard a 50-42. That's 4-10-8s. That's how dominant he was. And get this. I still think through round three that Calvin Kattar was still pretty dangerous because he's heavy-handed. You know, Max is more of a volume guy. And it's not like he almost didn't put out Kattar, because he did. Pick a limb. Almost kneed him. He almost elbowed him. He almost punched him. I mean, KO, we didn't know how it was going to come, but we thought it was going to come. But both guys very durable. Calvin Kattar very durable, almost too durable. I don't think we needed to see 25 minutes of a one-sided beating like that. But, you know, every time he did clear the cobwebs, he would throw a straight jab followed by a nice cross. And sometimes he would back Holloway up. And then he had that, I think it was the fourth round when he got him in a couple uppercuts in on Holloway. And it kept them in that game. So it made it a compelling 50-42 one-sided beatdown at times. But look, make no mistake, they were not enough moments that Calvin Kattar had. He had moments, but there weren't enough of them. Most of the time, it was just an onslaught that he was fighting through. You know what I mean? All credit to Max Holloway. And yes, if Volkanovski gets past Brian Ortega, I would like to see a part three. And this isn't a deep featherweight division, but you got to do it because Max Holloway showed us he's one of the top two featherweights in the world. Hell, with that performance and with arguably him winning the second fight, a lot of people might say that's the best featherweight in the world. He just doesn't wear the gold.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much away from the problem is in talking about this fight, I feel like we make it sound as if Calvin Kattar didn't even deserve to be there or anything like that. It wasn't that at all. Calvin Kattar definitely deserved to be there. Calvin Kattar is a tough fighter, and that Calvin Kattar probably would have beat a lot of fighters up that night. Just not Max Holloway. Max Holloway was on a completely different level that night. So what he needed to do was something like this. Hell, not even. He probably could have done half this, but he needed to do something very, very impressive to make people want to see that third fight. Actually, not so much for people to want to see it, because I think a lot of people thought Max won the last fight with Volkanovski. But I think for the UFC to be able to justify it, he had to do something just out of this world. And that's what he did. So the dude just had such a great performance on all ends. He covered all the bases. It was pretty much amazing. But Calvin Kattar, I mean, I don't know what to do with him now, because the first things first, a young guy like that is going to want to jump right back in and get things going. But he's got some injuries he needs to heal, but he's also got some mental things that he's got to get through. And there's probably some things that he can work on. So I'd like to see Calvin Kattar take a very long rest here. One, to just kind of rest his body. And two, to just pick up some new skills, some things. If you go back and you watch that fight, there's a lot of things. I felt like Max Holloway was fighting with more weapons.
Yeah.
And I think Calvin can fix some of those things, because he's a very easy guy to talk to. He's a very easy guy to coach. He's a sponge. He wants to learn. He's always in the gym. So I think that process for him will be good. And if you look at a guy like Brian Ortega, you know, when Brian Ortega had that loss, I think we all kind of went, oh, no, did we think we had something else that really wasn't there? But Brian was able to turn things around and look where he's at now. I think Calvin can do a very similar thing.
And Brian was gone for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now Calvin's 32, so taking a year off, coming back at 33. Well, you know, the odds aren't on your side, but Calvin Kattar's stock didn't drop too much. He'll still be regarded a top 10 fighter, just outside the top five, but he needs the rest. He needs to heal and he needs to get better and he needs to learn from that fight. The same way, like you said, Ortega learned from his fight. He's gotten a lot better. So we'll see. And styles make fights. You know what I mean? He may never even have to fight Holloway again. Who knows? Holloway's street cred is through the roof. I wouldn't be shocked if Khabib Nurmagomedov, who said, show me something. He said that to the lightweights. Max Holloway showed him something. I wouldn't be surprised if Khabib said, I'll come back for Max. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. But segueing into that, that was some big news on Saturday. Khabib Nurmagomedov, I don't know what we call him, because he retired in October. At least that's what he told us, and that's what he's reiterated a few times. Then he sat down with Dana White and said, look, I don't want to hold up the division, but if those four guys on Saturday show me something, then maybe I'll come back. He also went out of his way to mention Charles Oliveira's name. So it seems like there's five guys out there, and one of those could get Khabib back. Now, Oliveira already did the work. I don't think Oliveira's going to go out and do something else. By the time he were to get a fight and fight it, I don't think Khabib's going to sit around and wait. So I think Oliveira's fight versus Ferguson already has to have impressed him. Ferguson was his longtime nemesis, and Charles Oliveira put him away rather quickly. Mm-hmm. So, impressively. He's sitting in the wings, and I guess it's like a Dana White contender series. So he won his fight. He's impressed, but will he get a contract? And I'm talking about the OG Dana White contender series when only one guy or gal got a contract. Not now when everybody gets a car. It's Oprah Winfrey show now. But we got these four other guys going. And you know Dana White wants McGregor versus Khabib. That's what he wants. If Poirier wins, the problem with that is it's Khabib's second most recent fight to Justin Gaethje. You know, will he want to run that back when it was pretty decisive? I don't know. I mean, if Poirier does something special to Conor and he does it quickly and then gets on the mic and un-Poirier-like talks trash, what took you so long, Khabib? I got rid of him in a round. It took you for me. Something that can maybe impress and then ruffle feathers. Maybe he's in the running. And then, of course, there's Hooker versus Chandler. Again, they would have to do something special, especially Hooker, who lost to Poirier. So imagine if Poirier wins, but not impressively, and Hooker wins. Poirier's probably going, I'm ahead of Hooker. Whatever happens here, I'm ahead of Hooker. So Hooker really has to do something special and hope that McGregor wins in a boring fashion against Poirier. Then Hooker, there's a spotlight on him, you know? Michael Chandler has to do what Hooker said, but it doesn't matter who wins between Poirier and McGregor because both of those guys have already fought Khabib. He just has to outshine Charles Oliveira. Now, can he do that? I suppose if he does something like when he knocked out Patrycki and then stood on the cage and did a backflip and then goes into pro wrestling mode and says, you know, what are you scared of me? You know, I signed from Bellator and I'm coming over to the UFC. Why are you running, Khabib? You know, something like that. Maybe, man. I don't know. I'll test my wrestling against you, USA versus Russia. I'm just spitballing here. But that's what Khabib wants. He wants something special on Saturday. And he mentioned Oliveira's name. So he gave us a maybe. There was no retirement. But one thing's for sure, I think after Saturday, we find out within a few days if he's retired or not. For sure.
I think it's the last three guys that really, when he says those guys have to do something to impress me, I don't think Conor McGregor can do anything that's going to make him want to take that match again. I think he's been there, done that. I don't think he wants to give Conor that shine. I think it's a little personal there. With Dustin, another been there, done that moment. So really, I do think it comes down to Chandler. I think it comes down to Hooker. I think it comes down to Oliveira. I think Chandler has probably the best shot because he could probably say something along the lines of, I came here to test myself against the best, you know, and Khabib is the best. Why are you running? You know, that sort of thing. Maybe he could pull something out of Khabib.
I think Chandler needs to mention wrestling because Khabib loves to talk about wrestling. He's a wrestler. You ever seen when him and Cormier just happen to be passing each other and they're not even scheduled to fight? Meaning not each other, but, you know, they're not in athlete mode. They're just maybe one guy's announcing and the other guy's just a fan. And then they'll get in there and tussle, and they always talk about, you can take me down, I can't take you down. I think that's a button that he might be able to push if he can get a highlight reel finish over Hooker.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. But I think he's the one in the lead. Then I think it's Oliveira. Then I think it's Hooker. But not much of an announcement, huh? I mean, really, when you think about it, it wasn't letdown. Huh?
It was a letdown.
But you know, in a way, it's not, because Khabib is the guy that's saying, I'm done. I'm retired. You know, it's up to Dana to say something to bring him out. Dana's really the one. If you're going to be upset with Dana, because he's the one that keeps trying to pull him out of retirement. Khabib is has been very clear.
I don't know, man. I think Khabib, if he really, really wanted to be retired, Then he should have just said, what are we doing here? I thought I said I was retired. But then he gave that little opening and somebody has to do something special. And what if somebody does something special, but it's not the guy he really wanted? I don't know. I almost feel like he either Dana was badgering him so bad he said, all right, I'll think about it. Or which at that point he should have put his foot down and said, no, no means no. Or maybe he's just fucking with Connor. That's all I can think of. Because if he gave a flat out no, who knows? Maybe Dana White would have said, run it, title fight. You know what I mean? For the other two on Saturday. Late notice, but it's a title fight. So I don't know, man. But I just wish he would have been, I wish they would have been more definitive. We weren't there. It could be that Habib told him, no, I'm still retired, you know. But he left the opening. He mentioned Oliveira. If Oliveira impressed him that much, then maybe he should have said, I'll come back for Oliveira. But yeah, man, if Connor or Poirier isn't fighting Habib, I don't know. I guess. I mean, would Dana want him to fight either Chandler, Oliveira, or Hooker? He wants him to go 30-0 versus Connor if possible. I don't know that he means as much to him if he's just not fighting Connor.
I think he's just become one of those cats where it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter who he fights. It's a big deal. I think John Morgan said it the other day. We don't realize how big he is internationally. And mm-hmm. I think that's very true.
Okay. All right. We're going to get to the first of our two guests. His name is Jamal Hill. He's going to be fighting Paul Craig in March, and he's coming off a win over OSP. So two subjects to talk about there, the fight that happened, the fight that's coming up. And, of course, we'll check in and see how he's doing here as we're all still under COVID restrictions. It's affecting all of our lives, and it's a motherfucker, that's for sure. And we'll be right back with Jamal Hill.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. Featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter. Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There he is, the King of the North. What's up?
Sadly.
Not much, man. Sweet Dreams is bye-bye, or you got a lot of nicknames?
I got a lot of titles. King of the North is not a nickname. It's the title.
Like it. All right. Well, listen, it's great to have you on. Congratulations a few weeks late on your big win over OSP. That is a tough guy, man, that you beat in OSP, and it was very impressive. And, of course, you've already lined up your next fight in Paul Craig. But before we talk about Paul Craig.
We need to address that. How do y'all even know that? Who y'all got on the inside?
Well, I.
No, y'all not. Because here's the thing. I haven't even signed that contract yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Nope. Well, so the fact that y'all even know that shit. It's hilarious.
Well, Ghost told me that we booked Jamal Hill, and I go, all right. And when I looked you up on Tapology, it has you versus Paul Craig. Now, that's the proper response. The other response could be, man, we're MMA junkie. We're the 5-time winners of the World MMA Award.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's bullshit, because the first person I seen, the first anything I seen was y'all.
Well, like I said, it's on Tapology, really. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, next, all right, back what you were saying.
So then Paul Craig isn't official, right? Is what you're saying?
No comment.
Okay. That sounds like it's likely, but all right, we'll play by the rules. OSP, going back to that one, boy, that one let the world know that you're ready for these big fights. And I remember when we talked to you before, you said, hey, this is when John Jones was champ. You were like, Yeah, man, I'm already picturing myself fighting these top guys, and you hadn't even hit your 10th fight yet, you know, but that's the confidence that you were showing. You're not scared, and you're looking forward to all those big fights. And, of course, you get a test in OSP, you put him away, you have an unnamed gentleman that you'll be fighting in March. If you get past him, by 2021, man, you can be – I don't know, man. Depending how busy you stay, you could be in the number one contender fight or even a title fight.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. That's the hope. Just stay busy more so. Just keep winning. Just keep racking up fights. I'm having fun, man. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And I just want to keep doing it.
Now, it's one thing to say it, but when you beat OSP, did you feel more confident, I guess? And now, you know, you were actually backing up what you were saying.
In a way, it was kind of like a realization, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing. But I always picture myself in this situation. I always envision myself in this position. And I felt like I was better anyway. I just did what I already knew I could do. You know what I mean? So to me, it was just like just going in and getting the job done. It's like, I don't know. It's just like any other job. Like when you go to work and day, you know, like, all right, I got to push out this many parts in this amount of time today. You know what I mean? I got to go in there and take my mans out.
Yeah. Well, you got it done. And how many fights do you want to have in 2021?
As many as possible, man. As many times as I can possibly fight. That's how many times I'm going to fight. As long as I'm good, everything, I'm ready to go.
So you like the idea of the fast track to the title and just, hey, let's go. Big fights as soon as possible. You're reaffirming that you feel like you got those championship skills already.
Yeah, I feel like I've had those skills from the time that I walked in. You know, people are just now getting a glimpse into what I can really do because I'm just now starting to open up. Even still with OSP, you still didn't see the full extent of what I do. You just saw a taste. You know, it wasn't like he was standing. He was willing to come forward and bang with me like that. You know what I mean? Because that just makes things even worse for him. You know, but yeah, you just seen the sample.
Man, I'm glad you brought that up because that's kind of along the lines of what I wanted to ask you. That statement is basically what we read on OSP's face. He kind of had this look like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it almost seemed confusing to him how quickly all that happened and some of the tools you were using. Did you get a chance to talk to him after the fight at all? I know you guys talked a little bit in the octagon. Did he share anything? Yeah. With
you? Nah, only in the octagon. He's like, you got it. You know, keep going. You got you know what I mean? Your talent, like respect your state. Just, you know what I mean? Just some old head advice, you know, just stay focused and stuff like that. But as far as like really get to pick his brain, no, I haven't really got a chance to talk to him. Pick his brain about any of that now.
How long did that high last after the fight?
It wasn't really, I mean, for me, I didn't really hit a high, to be honest with you. It was just kind of less like, all right, got the job done, lock in, focus. Like, what I focused on instantly, my thoughts go to what can I do to get better? How can I make this easier? How can I make it smoother? So for me, in my mind, it really don't hit like it do for some other people.
When's the last time you surprised yourself?
I surprise myself a lot. Sometimes with the things that I can do. Honestly, I surprised myself the other day whenever I was at the gym and I was a little sore, so I didn't do the sparring session. Instead, my coach had to go, so I kind of ran the sparring session. And I was kind of like, you know what I mean, mentoring the younger guys in our program and stuff like that. But from what I was seeing and just the things that I was saying, just going, I was just talking off what I was seeing and my knowledge of the game, is next level. Like people really don't understand. I understand fighting. I understand this on a whole another level, you know. And I see things, just little things, even unique, unorthodox things that you might not even think matter, but I can make them matter. You know, it all started like basically with just me at a small thing. All right, how do I throw this punch right? All right, how do I throw this punch right? All right, what can I mix with that? All right, that punch ain't that good, so let me get that up to speed with this one. All right, let me work on this punch. All right, let me work on this punch. And I've been doing that for years. Like, people say I'm new to this. I've been doing this for 11 years. I mean, imagine doing that every little thing, every little tweak, for 11 years. And now it's all coming together. And now my mind is not, I don't have to focus so much on the little things. Now I just put it all together now. I realize how many tools I put to be able to put together now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, George and I, we get it. The fans get it. But when you walk by the matchmakers, when you walk by Dana White, do you think they've gotten it yet?
I don't think so. Honestly, you know what I mean? It's just more so like here's how I look at it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I see like the attention, like how they shine a spotlight on certain things that other fighters do and things like that. And that turn them up, that blow people up and get the whole MMA world talking about them. That hasn't happened for me. Even with the win over OSP, that didn't happen for me. The build up into the OSP fight, I wasn't promoted at all. I seen OSP's videos. You seen he had a finished video. You know, they do the prospects to watch and everything like that. I wasn't even on that. And I was in the co-main event, undefeated. You know what I mean? It's just little things like that. You know, I'm just, the spotlight is not shined on me like it is on some other people, which is cool. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, what I can do, my abilities, you can't ignore.
You know, when we used to interview a lot of the early tough guys, when the Ultimate Fighter had just started, a lot of them kind of carried this pride of being on that television show, and I want to be the first champion to ever come from tough. Do you feel the same thing with Dana White's Contender Series, or is that more of a thing like, that's just one night, it happened, I'm done, I'm Jamal Hill, the UFC fighter?
I take pride in how I came into the UFC, you know, the Contender Series fight, just because of what the challenge it was for me. You know, stepping up to the next level, stepping in front of the cameras on the big stage and things like that, and how I handled it and how I handled it. So, yeah, I take pride in that. You know, me, Billy Q, and Sean Woodson, we got the tag, the GOAT Week, the Dana White Contender Series GOAT Week tag. You know, so in order to do that, we definitely got to bring some belts on, got to grab up some titles. So, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to having that tag along with whatever tags, whatever other accomplishments, you know what I mean, I'm able to accomplish on this journey.
You want to hear the beef I got with you?
What's up?
All right. You posted some food pics, man, that got, that's the worst way to wake up in the morning. I woke up and I checked your social. Man, you ate like a king last night. Where the hell were you eating?
That was good. I was at, you know, I give him a shout out. It was good. I ate good there. I was at the bonefish out here in Vegas. My boy that I'm out here with. You know, him and his girl, they took me there. So we went there, checked it out. It was pretty good. I had the bang bang shrimp. That's fire, yo, legit fire.
So when things get back to normal, normally our studio's at Mandalay Bay. We have this cool studio in the sports book, but they got a bang bang shrimp at a restaurant right by there called Kumi. You gotta try that, dog. I'm telling you.
We're gonna check that out. Definitely gonna check that out.
Last question from me. As far as being an undefeated fighters carry an extra swag. We feel like when it comes to rankings, when it comes to jumping up and facing another opponent, whatever the road is, if it's six fights, undefeated fighter, it's one less, at least. Do you feel that you can carry that type of momentum being an undefeated fighter?
Do I feel like I can? That's like, to me, that question to me sounds like, do I feel like I can beat anybody? I feel like I can beat anybody in the world. I feel like I can touch anybody in the world. These hands are lethal, you know what I'm saying? Like Max, I love Max Holloway, you know what I'm saying? I love me some Max Holloway. Watching that fight this weekend was inspiring. It got me hyped. It got me ready to go put in the work, you know what I mean, put on the show and all that. But as far as best boxer in the UFC, I don't think anybody got better hands than me, for real. You know, y'all haven't even really seen my hands. Y'all just seen me warming up with my hands. And look what I'm already doing. Just wait till you really get to see.
Jamal, I want to address something you said a while back. I was thinking about it, why your name hasn't popped yet. I think I know why. Let's see if we're on the same wavelength. For one, I think you're like a silent assassin. I love when we interview you because I think your personality comes off very charismatic. You're very funny. You know, you talk a little bit of smack. on fight week, sometimes all that gets lost in the shuffle of whoever else is on the card because you haven't had your own fight night yet. You need your own fight night. Two, you fought in 2019 on Dana White Contender Series, and then you had the three fights last year. Now, one of them was in Raleigh. I'm not trying to come at Raleigh, North Carolina, but it was just a card that wasn't like your typical Vegas or New York, you know. Yeah, it was early on in a year that just turned out to be a catastrophic year. Then you had two fights with no crowd. So the
hold on. Even with no crowd, all right, and with that, I'd argue this. A couple of my guys that, you know, I mean, you've seen my guys that came out and they got knockouts and stuff, you know. I mean, I know everybody loves knockouts and they were great knockouts. You know what I'm saying? But they did that during the quarantine too. And they were pushed. They were blown up now. You know what I'm saying? So the first fight that I did in the quarantine, that was the first card back in Vegas. So that was actually not like a, you know what I mean? That was Tyron Woodley was on that card, you know. So it wasn't like it was just like a all right, just another card like that, you know.
Are you talking about Buckley's KO that it got a lot of shine?
No, not just that one. Bro, even Hamzat Chimaev. Let's talk about even Hamzat Chimaev.
Yeah.
My man's like you know, in the road, my man's look like a beast. You know what I'm saying? He looked like a beast. You know, I'm not, but like the dudes he beat was like trying, like the one dude that he set the record on and shit, record got broke by another dude who, let's be honest, my man, I don't know how many fights my man's gonna actually win in the UFC. You know what I mean? But this dude came out and did the exact same thing that this dude did to the same dude. Even worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think for him it was just
that's the thing. If you have a grappling advantage, if you have a grappling disadvantage, you are fucked. You know what I'm saying? Like it's different with striking. I feel like nobody can outstrike me. You can still get caught with a lucky punch. You can just so happen to be in the wrong spot and they throw at the right time and you get caught. How many people have lucked up and luckily got a submission?
Not many. Not that.
It don't happen. You know what I mean? So him coming into those fights, he already knew the ground advantage he had. Plus, he really is that good. You know what I mean? But the dudes did it on the way it got blown up, though. It blew up like that because they pushed it that way. You know what I'm saying? Then he came in. He got the knockout. Like I said, striking. Anybody can eat one. You can eat that one shot, be in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and bang. I really wanted to see him against Leon Edwards. You know what I mean? Because you go in and you whoop on Leon Edwards. Now, I can't nobody say nothing because Leon Edwards is legit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But –
but it didn't help that there was crowds, and I guess a lot of – I think a lot
– Chimaev didn't have no crowds. He hasn't fought in front of one crowd.
No, I get that. But what he did was – the two fights he had in 3 weeks was pretty historic. And, you know, like even Felder. When Felder was –
He didn't take any damage.
Huh?
He didn't take any damage. He took the dude down. The dude didn't hit him at all. He didn't get hit at all. So that was basically like another sparring match. All you got to do then is, all right, man, I'm still hungry. Just stay, control your weight for 3 more weeks, and you can fight again. That shit ain't hard. You know what I mean? Like, for real. I'm from the streets, bro. I've literally spent an entire week where I fought at least 8 different fucking people. You know what I'm saying? Some of them together. You know what I mean? Like, that shit ain't hard, bro. You know what I mean? Fighting back to back. Man, I done spent every day. I done spent days of my life, like, every day fighting type shit. Like,
but if you notice, I don't think a lot of people – I mean, he was dominant, and I don't think a lot of people wrote about him originally with that until he got the KO. I think what more people wrote about, if you
– it was already on right when he did it. Like, oh, he hasn't absorbed any strikes.
I think a lot of it also had to do with the quick turnaround. But look, all right, I mean, I guess we see it differently.
It did. It was other factors.
I think 2021 is going to be a good year because the undefeated fighters get a lot of love. And especially once you have beaten an established veteran like OSP, now they're going to line them up. And if you can mow through 3 guys in 2021, oh, man, I'm telling you, there's going to be some really – yeah. And then especially with crowds back, I mean, I don't know. I think who knows? I'm not trying to defend the UFC or anything like that.
They don't need to be defended. I'm not attacking the UFC. That's, don't get me wrong at all. I'm not attacking the UFC at all. I'm just saying that's an observation that I have that I've noticed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They go about their business how they do their business. You know what I mean? I can't complain at all. They kept me busy and kept me paid through a year where people have been completely devastated financially. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm not tripping on them at all. But at the same time, I do realize the difference in the shine.
Jamal, let me ask you this. USADA came out with an announcement. They're basically not even worried about marijuana anymore. I think all they said was, as long as you're not about to fight, meaning you got the gloves on and they can
they wasn't really worried about that shit to begin with. I've never had a USADA personnel or anybody trip on me or say anything to me about weed. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like I done got done smoking and they just showed up and they like right when I got done smoking, they showed up at my house.
Yeah, no, that shouldn't be a problem.
It's not. So nothing has really changed as far as that goes. You know what I mean? Obviously, you can't smoke in competition. You know what I mean? We know that. We know this. Regardless of what the test results from the United Nevada State Commission, I didn't do that. So I know this. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's another thing. Even USADA was part of the reason why the UFC backed me, and they know that I didn't smoke in competition. You know, they went back and tested my old USADA samples. They seen where my THC levels were. And then they went and they looked at the test, my levels whenever I tested for the Nevada State Commission. And the levels were completely different. Like all my USADA test samples were like in the thousands. And then you got the Nevada State Commission when that was 311. But they only allowed you like 175.
I never thought it should have been something they should even worry about anyway, even going back to before. USADA, you know what I mean? But I'm glad that eventually we got to this point. Sure.
Right. We just got a little bit more ways to go. The commissions need to go ahead and jump on the bandwagon, jump on the train.
Who do you want to fight when you fight for the world title? Does it matter? At this point, you have Blachowicz, you have Israel Adesanya, and I guess it's always fair to mention John Jones's name if he ever returns, just because if he does, he'll always be in the prime spot.
Right. If we're doing dream scenarios, if we're doing ideal, honestly, it'd be Jones or Adesanya, because I feel like over these next few fights, I feel like y'all get to really see me and see my skill set and see the things that I'm able to do. So, I'll eventually get that notoriety, and people will start to come along and they'll see. And then I feel like that when they get to see my skills with how it matches up against somebody like Adesanya or somebody like a John Jones skills, I think that makes for a huge fight, and I want to get paid.
Would you like to fight? Let's say I'm just going to choose Blachowicz just to pay him some respect. He's the champ. Would you like a scenario where you fight Blachowicz in Las Vegas, or whatever, and pick any city in the United States? Or do you dream of being the villain and saying, you know what, I want to go to Poland and ruin the party? Like, have you ever had that feeling of being like a party spoiler like that?
However it's set up, man, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for everything. You know, if I gotta storm into another king's kingdom and snatch his crown and kick him off his throne, I do that. You know, we gotta meet on neutral battlegrounds and have it out and see what's what. We can do that. You know, if you want to come into my, home, we can do that. I'm ready. I'm good with whatever. It does not matter whatsoever.
Man, I love hearing that. I've been a sports fan for many years, and some of my best moments as a fan have been when I go with my team on the road and that stadium is full or that arena is full and it's just me and a couple cats cheering for our team. Those are some of my best memories. I've always preferred being a road dog, and if I was a fighter, I'd rather do that scenario at least once. You know, maybe New Zealand to beat Australia, or Poland to beat Blachowicz or whatever. And then, of course, you know, you're not going to always fight on the road, but that, to me, that's the dream scenario.
Yeah, but also though, I also want to bring a UFC event back to Grand Rapids. We have the Van Andel Arena there. It's not like maybe like it ain't the biggest arena, but it's pretty nice. You get the job done. Kevin Hart comes through and does shows there, sells out. Hopefully we can get that, and I can bring a show there, because that to me would be huge.
You know why I think being a road dog is the coolest? because your entire life as a kid, teachers, parents, they all give you this, right? Shh. And in one moment, you give the gift like 20,000.
What the hell? Everybody quiet. Silence.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hey, one last thing. What was the thing you were saying about you fought 8 times in one night? Was that like the streets or was this in early amateur?
I ain't say 8 times in one night. I said what I said was like I done fought like 8, like gotten like 8 different fights in 1 week, like in the same week. I done fought like 8 different separate occasions, like day after day. Like I fought this dude this day, I fought this dude the next day, fought this dude the next day. These other people tried to jump me the next day, so I had to fight multiple people. Like that should not happen. That should not happen. So that you, me going in and whooping the shit out of somebody and not taking any damage, and then be like, yo, can I fight again in 3 weeks? That's just me getting more money. You know what I mean? That's, to me, that's not like, oh, he did it in 3 weeks. Like, I mean, that's, I guess it's a publicity stat, but to me, like, especially the way he whooped dude's ass wasn't impressive.
Can you give me an epic Grand Rapids street fight story?
What kind you want? You want one with a lot of build up, a lot of drama. You want one with a lot of knockouts?
Oh man! Well, my favorite are the ones where you know somebody was getting bullied and you stuck up for the guy that was getting bullied, or maybe you were getting bullied, although I doubt it was you. But yeah. those are the ones that don't get people in trouble. You know, once we're in the studio. Then we can say, man, tell me the one about all the knockouts. Let's do a feel-good story.
All right. It was this dude. He used to like this dude. He was like, he was dating this girl that we were cool with. And she was trying to break up with him or whatever, but you know, like the type of dude that don't want to take no for an answer, want to be weird about stuff. He like was like following her. Like we was chilling, we were drinking, and they went back. She was going back to her house, and my cousin rode with her back to her house. You know, this dude like pulls up on him, runs up on my cousin. My cousin beat him up, whatever. Whole situation is. So like a week later, we were chilling again. We're drinking. Like this dude starts like calling. Like he's like calling, like, oh yeah, well, I know where you live. I'm about to pull up. So like we just get to chilling, you know. Like I call one of my cousins, like, yo, this is what's happening. They, I mean, they talking about they gonna pull up. Let me see what's happening. Like, I'm about to stay here. You know, I was ready to go home, you know. So, but I stayed because I didn't want them to show up and then I wasn't there. So I called my cousin, let him know what was happening. So about like 2 hours go by, like 2.5 hours go by. It's like 2 something in the morning. I'm like, bro, I'm about to go home. So I'm about to leave. I'm on my way out the door. As soon as I walk out the door, I go to turn around, shake your hands, you know, get ready to walk. I see like about 3 or 4 cars just go, they go by, right? I was like, was that them? They're like, I don't know. They come back around and they pull up in front of we're at my aunt's house. So they pull up in front of my aunt's house, they get out the car, and it's like 9 dudes. All right.
Damn.
Some of these motherfuckers is big. Like, hey, that would be wrong. I've always been a confident guy. I'm a confident guy. It was a split second. I was like, shit. We're like, bro, one of these motherfuckers is big. We talking like NFL lineman big. Like, don't you got practice in the morning big? Like, jumping. Like, for real. Like, you eat half the cow being touching. Tall, you know what I mean, taller than me. You know, it's just all sides. That all sides, little stocky dudes. You know, it's about 9 of them. It's about 4 of us. So, you know, instantly, you know me, I'm like, all right. So, look, sticky situation. I pick up 2. My aunt has like these big rocks in her yard, so I picked up like 2 of them. You know, my cousin, my boy, my right hand man, he got a baseball bat. And then my cousin got a pickle jar. I don't know why he's got the pickle jar. I don't know what he plans to do with the pickle jar. All right? It's a pickle jar. I'm assuming it would hurt if you got hit with one, but you only got 1 shot with it. All right? But it is what it is. So, and then it's my boy. So, like, my other boy, like he'll fight, but he's not really a fighter like that. You know what I'm saying? But he will fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, these dudes walk up. You know, they like, they like, oh, woo, this and that, you know, talking they stuff. Then they like, oh, my boy want to fight your cousin 1-on-1. Basically, he want to run back the fight that they just did a week ago.
Got it.
You know, that ain't finna happen off top. That's not finna happen. I told him. At first, you know what I mean, with the numbers looking like it was, I'm thinking like, all right, maybe. I'm like, all right. I'm like, all right, bet, 1-on-1. Then I got to thinking like, y'all ain't pull up here 9 deep at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean, to watch somebody fight 1-on-1. That's not, especially if he already whooped his ass the way he whooped his ass the week before, you know? So I'm like, nah, bro. If any one of them fight, I'm fighting, you know, period. So it's either we all fighting or we all about to walk away type situation. We just get to talking, like so some more words were said. Then I don't know, somehow one of the guys got on the side of my cousin and he hit my cousin. As soon as he hit my cousin, my cousin went down, like he snuggled, my cousin went down. They like the whole nine just tried to stomp my cousin. I was like, just ignored the fact that I was there, ignored the fact my other two boys was there, you know. And they all just tried to jump on him, which I figured was their plan all along, you know. Because from what I've seen in situations, a lot of times some people will see their boy getting jumped and they outnumbered, they'll just sit there and watch. This ain't that situation, you know. So off top, I hit the closest dude to me. As soon as I hit him, he like tried to rush in and take me out. So this is, I was probably like about 8, I was 18, maybe just turned 19 at this time. I've been training for maybe like a few months at this time now. I blocked hits, knee, head kick, knocked him out cold. Then, like, anytime we get into a situation, because we used to get into a lot of situations back then. So I tell my people, if you go down in a fight, just yell my name and I'm going to come get you up. I heard my cousin yelling. It's like still like 3 dudes still on him trying to kick and he's covered up. So I come around. First dude, it was like his chin was like lit up in the moon. Like, I hit him, bow, he went to sleep. I hit him, bow, he went to sleep. Other dude, he like kind of backed up. I grabbed my cousin, I pulled him up. And then I look up and my boy, that's not really like the fighter, he's got like 3 dudes around him, like jumping him, you know. But he's like got his hands, he's like covering up, but he's like reaching up. He grabbed one of them and he hit the dude. As soon as he hit the dude, I went over the dude that was on side of him, hit him, knocked him out. So at this point, like, I see my little cousin. I think my little cousin was maybe like, my little cousin had to have been like 12 at the time.
He's like 12.
Yeah. Huh?
He's there like
12 or 11, huh?
He's there too?
We were at my aunt's house. Mm. They pulled up to my aunt's house. He was in the room asleep. He came out. Like, eventually he ended up waking up and just so happened to come out. We were fighting. He sees one of the dudes getting up, and he runs up, and he hits the dude. And then I see one of the dudes going after my little cousin. So I run. I knock him down. I get the beating shit out of him. Then, like, at this point, like, these dudes are starting to realize, like, all right, we fucked with the wrong people. You know, so they, like, kind of like, no. My boy, that's not really a fighter again, was getting, like, choked up by the big-ass NFL lineman-looking dude. Like, that's one thing. I didn't see this dude. He must have been, I don't know what he was doing. So, you know, I hear him like on like the power box outside, like linked up, trying to choke my boy. So I start running at him. He sees me coming and he like pushes my boy and he takes off running. Like, this big ass dude took off running. You know, at this point, all right, it was like 7 black dudes and then it was like 2 white guys. All the black dudes started leaving. You know what I'm saying? So one of them, when he's walking past me, but he's like talking shit back to my people. So off top, I had to hit him. So I hit him. He walks up. He tries to like do like this little what's up, like little square up with me. I pump faked the jab, and he like dipped, and I just head kicked him and knocked him like flat on his ass. He like he hopped up. He ran. He jumps in the car. Like, so now, like, all these dudes are getting in the car. They're like leaving. I look up. One of the dude that was originally fighting, he's like knocked out, wrapped around a tree. So like, I'm just like, all right, I'm trying to figure out what's wrong. My cousin's going nuts.
He like grabs like a baseball bat and starts going after. He grabs the baseball bat and he starts going after people's cars. Damn. And then, yeah, bro. He starts going after people's cars. They pull off. The dude wakes up and he like comes. He wakes up like, oh, I'm still standing. Like my boys, they go to swim. I'm like, nah. I try to like stop him. I mean, I get in between them. I'm like, nah, bro, get up out of here. And like he tried to sneak me. Like the dude tried to sneak me because like I'm trying to turn to my boys. Like, nah, bro, he's already beat up. Like, he's already been knocked out. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to kill this dude. You know what I mean? The dude tries to sneak me. So he tries to sneak me. I just like hit. Bah! Come out and hit him, and I like completely shattered his jaw. I never felt or seen anything like that for real. Like his whole like shit like sunk in. It was nasty. And he just went right back to sleep. Man, that's when the other tall, skinny guy appears, and he's like, oh man, he throws something from the car. So hopped on his ass, and then. That's when the other guys are like, oh, shit, they didn't pull off. They started pulling back. My thing is, we just whooped y'all ass. Only thing y'all could be possibly coming back to do is shoot at us. So we ran.
Man, that's an epic story. You covered a lot, and I was glued. Hold up.
That ain't even the funniest part. You want to know what the funniest thing was? Remember the cousin that I told you I had called 2 hours before this?
Yeah.
So we take off running. My aunt's house is complete glass. It's nothing but glass in front of our house. So I'm not running in your house. I run behind the house. She lives in the cul-de-sac. I cut through the backside of the cul-de-sac, run a nice little long trip around the block, come back to the house. We get back in front of the house. My cousin and I called 2.5 hours ago. It's finally pulling up. It's him, his boy that's like fucking 5'2" and like 13 females.
Oh, is that the after party?
Bro, I was so like I never understood what the hell happened with that. That was funny. That is always funny to me. How it's because in Grand Rapids it take you at most 30-35 minutes to get anywhere in Grand Rapids. All right. That's give or take a little bit of traffic. If it's bad traffic, it may take you a little bit longer. But 2.5 hours, and then you show up with 13 females? What are we doing, bro? I wish I had been here. I would have been knocking.
That's an epic story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah. I guess I'll let the editorial know. It's not official yet about Paul Craig and Jamal Hill. We'll just wait and see what the official word is on that.
It's in the works.
All right. It was great catching up with you. And again, congrats on the OSP win. I look forward to a big 2021. Take care, brother.
All right, I appreciate y'all having me. Stay tuned.
We'll see. We'll see you. All right. That's Jamal Hill. Goes. That was one of the best street fight stories we ever heard.
Yeah. You know, let me we got Benil Darius here. Hey, Benny, we kind of assumed you forgot, so we just kept rolling.
Oh, really? No, I was waiting for you guys. I was waiting in the whatever. I didn't realize there was an extra button to click, so I was right there. I've been on for since 9:30. I MacGyvered like a little camera stand in my car, and I've been driving and just waiting for you guys.
I thought we would have seen him in the lobby. I thought he had just forgotten or he was running late.
He didn't hit the extra button, so we just thought you weren't showing up. So we go, all right, let's just keep rolling.
No, there's an enter the studio button that I didn't see. I was like, well, my camera works. There's the microphone works, so I'm like, I'm good. But there was extra button. See,
you know what this Benny is did, why George?
I'm not a technology guy. I need to stay away from technology.
You know what Benny did, George?
What did he do?
He showed up to our house. But he stood at the front door. So he had been there the whole time, but he never knocked.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? That was a good one, huh?
Yeah. That's pretty good. Not bad. I heard parts of it. I'm like, man, I didn't. Everybody has their story.
Yeah.
I never, never have I had street fights like that. It was mostly me just getting beat up.
Well, I know you have practice at 10. Do you have time or?
Yeah, no problem. I let my coach know ahead of time, so you guys are good.
Well, five fights in a row. Diego Fajeda, I mean, solid. I love the progress. This weekend is going to define a lot in your division. First of all, we're going to find out if the champion sticks around and then who the likely next fighter will be. I love that you have patience and not feeling like you can be one of those five being considered. Oliveira, Poirier, McGregor, Chandler, and Hooker, because you've been a mainstay in this division for a long time, and the 5-5 win streak has been not just impressive because of the finishes and because it's five in a row, because, I mean, you have been a human highlight film. Every second of all of your fights has been very, very exciting, and I just think, you know, you should be in this type of a position.
I agree with you 100%. I think I'm being overlooked, which isn't something new for me, which is fine. But after this fight, like, how can you overlook me? If I go in there and if I can do what I've done, if I can dominate in this fight, like, for how long are they going to look over me? Like, who are they going to try to give me to say, no, well, you got to beat this guy now. I just don't see it anymore. And, you know, unfortunately that fight with Oliveira didn't happen. He pulled out and then he got a fight with Tony. But if, man, that would have been pretty much all I needed. But now I have another fight. So honestly, man, I'm just excited to fight. I don't want to think about the drama of it, because there is always lots of drama. That's the fun part about the UFC. Before the fight, all the drama.
Yeah. Who do you think comes out of this weekend?
You know, if you look at it, just, I think clearly Conor has an advantage in both striking and grappling. I just don't know if it's going to go five rounds. If it goes five rounds, then I don't know, because Dustin is so dang good in five-round fights. He just gets better and better and better and better. So that's I'm leaning towards Conor, but if it goes five rounds, I think it would be Dustin. I think he would dig deeper.
What about Hooker and Chandler?
I'll go with Hooker. I don't know enough about Chandler. I mean, I've seen him fight in Bellator, but, like, Bellator and the UFC are not the same thing. We'll see how he moves in the UFC. It's different pressure, different spotlight, and different opponents. I feel like he's fought all the same opponents in Bellator, but now it's different.
What did you think of the fact that Max Holloway says, I haven't even been sparring my last two camps, which is the opposite of what happens at Kings MMA?
Bro, Max Holloway is something special. That fight was something special. Like, how many guys have you seen that could do that? I don't know if I've ever seen anyone do anything like that. So that fight for me was incredible. I couldn't believe what Max did. And then to go out there and say, I don't spar anymore, it makes you think your whole career. It makes you think your whole training style. And you know, I don't spar when I don't have a fight, but when I do have a fight, I always spar Fridays. I spar hard Fridays, and then Tuesdays I have small glove sparring, which is more focused on small glove sparring. It's more focused on grappling, so it's mind-blowing to me. I don't know how to digest the whole process, the whole thing, when he says I don't spar anymore. So I really don't know what to tell you. I think it's going to affect a lot of people.
Benny, this weekend, hearing Dana White and Khabib and hearing Khabib's decision, were you leaning towards anything? Like, were you hoping he'd say I'd stick around? Were you hoping he'd just go away so everything else can fall into place?
I hope he sticks around if he still wants to fight. If he's genuinely still wanting to fight, I hope he sticks around. But if not, I think, man, why fight if you don't want to fight? Like, you know, this morning I woke up and I was thinking to myself, you know, they give you this aura ring. They tell you to check your heart rate. They tell you to do all this stuff. And I'm the best I've ever been in terms of shape, in terms of technique. And I think mentally, spiritually, I'm the best I've ever been. And I thought to myself, man, I hope this isn't the end. I hope this isn't like, the best I can be. I hope I can get better than this in the future. And so with that being said, I wonder if Khabib thinks that. Like, does he want to get better, or does he just want to get one more fight and call it, kind of thing? So if he doesn't want to fight anymore, if he doesn't want to continue to improve and man, don't fight. But if you still have a hunger to get better, still have a hunger to show the world that there's more to you, then yeah, you can fight.
We're in a different era right now where social media is so big. Back in the day, you wouldn't even be able to know unless somebody told you what your opponent is up to, what he's doing. Now, if he wants, he could be watching this interview with you right now. Do you ever keep tabs of your opponent, see what he's up to? Do you check his Instagram, his Twitter, that sort of thing?
Not well. One time we had a friendly exchange on Twitter, so I looked at his Twitter and stuff, but not too much, to be honest. It's it makes it harder to fight the person, because I mean Diego's a really nice guy. He's not like a bad guy, or he's a nice guy. He's a family man. He has the same dreams I do. He's working just as hard as I am. He does the same thing I do every day. So if you get too into it, for me, it's going to make it harder to fight him. You know, it you start to see yourself in the other person's shoes. So to be honest, I prefer not to look too much.
Last time we had you on, you told us the story about the orphanage and the kids that you've been helping out. And I was curious, how much of your career do they know about? And could they possibly be watching this fight?
I don't think they know too much. I think they know. I mean, they know I fight, but I don't think they've seen that many fights of mine. You know, the internet there isn't that great. I doubt they've seen anything live. I know, the pastor who runs the orphanage, he checks, he knows my fights. He checks on the news, but like to see the fights live is a little bit difficult in Haiti. But I mean, I'm sure he updates them. That's kind of the thing right now. He keeps, he lets them know what's going on. But no, they don't have an idea. I don't think they've seen all my fights, if that's what you're saying.
One last question for me, Benny. I've been praising your work rate, every fight that you've had as of late, and really for a long time. It seems like every technique you throw is 100% violent. And I wanted to ask you, has Shelby, Maynard, or Dana at least come back and told you something like that? Like, you know, like their appreciation for how hard you kick, how even, you know, everything, like I say, everything you throw is with such bad intentions. And that's pretty impressive.
Sean mentioned something like that. Dana too, but Sean, I thought was the funniest. Sean watched my fight, my last fight. And then, you know, the next day he texts me because he watched my interviews post-fight. And he's like, bro, you can't be saying stuff like that. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you can't be saying, I'm not going to call people out. I'm not doing that anymore. And then, you know, you're going to knock a person out like that. You're not going to call anybody out. And on top of that, you miss weight your last fight. So like, do you think anybody's going to want to fight you? And I think Sean's really funny. He's so honest. I appreciate his honesty. So if I speak with Sean, I know exactly where I'm at. I thought that was really cool. And then with Dana, he just messages me and says like, great fight, something like that. But Sean really mentions like how brutal the fight was. And Sean mentions all the stuff you just said.
I'm telling you, man, if I was like on the verge of retiring and I fought you and got lit up the way you light some guys up, I think I'd go, that's it, man. I don't know. Sometimes it feels like you're swinging a fucking baseball bat. Like you're,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're defending your family or something like that. Like this guy really, really did something. And I know it's just the mindset, and I'm not trying to say you're violent or nothing like that. I'm just saying you just get down, man, in the octagon.
You know, I've always been kind of savage. As a kid, it was always easier to break stuff than build stuff, and just like fighting was the easiest thing for me. It was never difficult to get in a fight. It was never difficult to you know, overcome the fear of fighting. The more difficult things have always been relationships for me, and that's what you see inside that octagon. Thank God, you know, by his grace, I went from being a savage to a servant in a lot of places in my life. So I appreciate that. But that part of me never goes away. And if you put me inside that octagon, it's kill or die. And another thing that's been really cool about it is, you know, Master Rafael has been working with Mike Tyson. And you can't believe how inspired Master Rafael has been. Ever since he started working with Mike, the passion and, like, his drive and the way he speaks, he's always been passionate. But now, like, when we're sparring, when we're training, and I just hear his voice and I hear him say go, and I hear him, like, hey, like, it inspires you. In the middle of training, I'm more focused on his passion than I am sparring sometimes. And I rewatch the videos. It's so good. So that's another thing that's been really cool, is just having the influence of Mike Tyson come over to Kings MMA.
Has it been, like, indirect, just through Master Rafael, or has Tyson stepped into the gym?
For me, it's been indirect. A couple other guys have seen him train and been around the training, but unfortunately for me, I've missed it every time. But I've been fortunate enough to get it from Master Rafael, so I'm not complaining at all.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today. Can't wait for your fight. It's like 3 weeks away. So, folks, I'm telling you, this is the guy, the UFC. If they're going to be back on ABC, throw this guy in there. There's just some fighters out there that are made for TV. You're one of them, Benny.
I appreciate that. I hope next time, you know, when I become champion, I won't have to MacGyver my camera, my phone on my car. But if I do, I hope you guys still take me on.
I'm just glad.
Always.
I'm glad he used MacGyver, because Jamal Hill made me feel so old with some of his references and stuff. I love MacGyver.
Bro, have you heard the word cap?
Cap?
I have these kids, cap. Yeah, they keep telling me stop capping. And I'm like, what the heck does that mean? I got these young guys I wrestle with, some of them high school, some of them college. And every time I say something, they'll be like, stop the cap. I said, what the heck does that mean? What do you mean? I guess it means lying. Stop lying. I'm like,
lying. So
we go back and forth. You won't believe it, but I love to talk crap to the younger generation. I love to bully them. And now they say things that I don't know. The change in the last couple of years in terminology, I'm lost. I can't keep up with half the stuff they say.
Me neither.
And then I'll say something and they'll be like, that's sus. And I'm like, sus like sauce? Or suspect, and then I figured out it was suspect. But yes. I'm like,
my nephew does that.
But you know, they also say sauce, like, you know, I got the sauce or something sauced up. So I'm lost. I'm lost half the time. How do you deal with kids nowadays? How do you deal with that terminology? My kids talk like that, I'm gonna beat their butts.
My nephew does that. He told me the other day, yeah, I bet the dog, which is short for underdog. I get that one. And then he's been shortening words. I don't know if the kids are getting lazy or one, but he told me, he goes, I'm thinking of putting them in a lay. And I'm like, a lay? A parlay? Yeah. A parlay, which means you have to
How old is he?
He's 22, I think. And I'm like, a lay? We didn't even shorten it that much. Parlay? I mean, that's not that big of a deal. In fact, Benny, let me tell you something. I get pissed when goes, I tell him something, and he writes me back, K. Instead of okay, he just writes K. I always thought that's something like a little schoolgirl does. She just goes K because it sounds cute. But Goz has been sending me just K lately, when all he has to do is put okay. It's only one more letter.
I'll take K over sus or cap, stop the cap, or whatever you just said. I'll take K any day of the week. At least I know what it means. I barely know what the other stuff means. I'm learning something new every day, and I'm just like, do I really want to know this? Is this really beneficial to me?
I don't like when people spell out K, K-A-Y. That's even longer.
That's just a lot of effort. They're just trying to be cute. You let that go.
All right, my man. We're going to let you go because you got practice, and you got a big fight coming up. Can't wait for it. Thanks, as always, for giving us the time.
Let's go. Appreciate you guys.
See you, Benny.
See you,
Benny. All right, folks. There he is, Beniel Dariush. One of the most exciting fighters in the UFC. I'll say that till the end, man. That guy's fights are always awesome. I'm always on the edge of my seat. And that's our show for today. We will probably come back on Thursday and kind of go over a little bit more from the fight card, which had Max Holloway over Calvin Cater. I'm glad we covered that. And, of course, Habib and his return. That's all at the beginning of the show. Once it's over, you can go back and listen to the whole show right here. And you can listen to any of our past shows. But I want to thank both of our guests, Beniel Dariush and Jamal Hill. Now, I did want to say congratulations to Carlos Condit and some of the other winners from the card, and that's something we'll have to cover on Thursday. But it was great to see the UFC or just MMA on ABC. That's something that hadn't happened. And they delivered, man. The fighters really, really delivered. So I thought it was outstanding. Any last words from you guys?
Nah, just great card. You're right. There's something about ABC, and you know, we were talking about Wild World of Sports on another show, and it was just fun to see it. And then just to see on social media some of the older generation that cover mixed martial arts sharing their thoughts and their memories, I thought was really cool.
Yeah. All right, folks. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. And again, it is a national holiday, Martin Luther King Day. Some of your kids may not have heard as much about Martin Luther King as probably Goes and I. You know, we were just a few generations removed, but he was a minister, and he was a civil rights activist who advanced not just for the Black community, but for a lot of minorities, speaking on behalf of, you know, in a nonviolent way, I think is what was the best thing about his approach. Very, very smart man. And so this is a big day for our country. And again, thank you to Sportscaster as always for giving us this platform, including Saturday, UFC 257, our watch along that we're going to do with Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. That's going to be at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. So that's the normal pay-per-view start time on Saturday for our watch-along. Come here and watch the fights along with us. Enjoy them along with us because you have to order the pay-per-view. But if you don't, we'll tell you everything that's happening. And then don't forget this Wednesday. So in 2 days, the UFC's on ESPN with an early start time, 9 a.m. Pacific, 6 a.m. a.m. All right, morning, early morning here on the Pacific time zone. That's on ESPN Plus, and then they go to ESPN, big ESPN, at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, for Michael Chiesa versus Neil Magny. So early, early morning on Wednesday, then we'll see you on Thursday, and then Saturday, don't forget to watch along. All right, for now, we're out of here. Take care, folks. Go out there and be a champion.